children. Actually, it's funny. I was sitting, actually we had a prayer meeting, prayer and worship meeting here yesterday, which was lovely. And I specifically said, Lord, bring in the children. We want to hear the voices of the children again. And I'm like, I think we can hear voices of children today. Wasn't it lovely? He answered that prayer. Okay, well, Father, this morning, as I bring your the word that I believe you placed on my heart, I thank you that each person here today would be able to take something from this, be able to go deep into their heart, Lord. Maybe it's a revelation, maybe it's just a blessing, but I thank you, Father, that you speak your word today. Amen. Okay, so last week, if you weren't here, I played a YouTube clip from Robert Morris, and it was called What Test? And it was about tithing. And after today, what I'm doing is I'm actually following up a little bit about what he said and bringing in some of my own things. But I have taken a lot of his things from his message. But I guess I should start reading out the main scripture that he read to us last week. Sorry, which is Malachi. Okay. Sorry. Malachi chapter 3. He says, you have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes, bring, not give, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me, put me to the test, says the Lord, for your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease, and your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. So that was his scripture about test me. Only time that God says in the word to test him. And we've done that, haven't we? We've tested God in that, because when we first started to tithe, it was like, oh, I'm not sure. You know, we'd put something in the offering. But then as God put it on our heart, well, give it a go, test me. And from that day, we have never not tithed. So I believe that this message today, it's called The Principle of the First. And I believe that this is such a principle that we need to get hold of. And if we will get hold of this, I can totally agree and vouch for this, that things in our life will change. The Bible says, and I haven't got this scripture up there, but seek first the kingdom of God, live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And I have that in my heart. I know that's there. So I don't worry like I used to worry about things that I needed or bills to be paid. But the principle of the first, it runs right through the Bible and it goes way back to the Garden of Eden. So we're going to look at some points, and it might sound a little theological, which isn't really me, but it's the scriptures, and by the end of it, I know you're going to get it, okay? So we're going to look at some points in here. Oh, thank you, darling. Okay. Now, again, I believe God blesses us, but it doesn't mean we won't have trials and troubles in our life. You know, Jesus said that himself. He said, don't worry about it. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulations, but it's okay. Be of good cheer, actually, he says. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And so he's taking care of that. So I'm not saying that you won't go through difficult times, but if God is not first in your life, then everything else will be out of order. Okay? So, the first point that I've got is the principle of the firstborn. So it's scriptures from the Old Testament, but let me remind you that in 1 Corinthians 10 it says that everything that was written in the Old Testament was written for our instruction And so we need to learn from this. There's talking about a donkey and a lamb, and I'm going to explain that as we go through. So first scripture is Exodus 13, verse 1. I've got the New King James scriptures up there, and I might just also quickly give you the... what doesn't matter. This one says as well. Okay, so here we go, Exodus 13, 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn." The word consecrate means to set apart. Set that part apart. So, consecrate me to all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. In the NLT it says, "Dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring to be born of both human and animals belongs to me." God's saying, I want the first. So way back then, he's saying about the first. So it means to set aside the first belongs to him. And there is a principle here. And it's the principle of this first that I'm getting across today. It's the principle, okay? Then in verse 12, he says, "You shall set apart," there it is again, "set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb." I think I read that, didn't I? Didn't I? No, okay. "That is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's." And verse 13, "But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem." Redeem means to buy back, okay, with a lamb. "And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck." Now this principle, I know, this principle applies to tithing, okay? And we'll see this as we go through. So what he's saying is the first 10%, the first tenth is set apart or set aside. It belongs to him. Okay? And if you don't bring it or return it, then we'll lose it. So you can bring to the house and then the 10% and then the 90% is blessed, or you can keep it in your bank and it will dwindle away. So I'm going to make some analogies as we go through. He says if you don't set it apart and if you don't redeem it, he says all the firstborn of man among your sons shall redeem. Now, there's two classifications of animals here that he uses, a donkey and a lamb. A donkey represents an unclean animal. Okay? I think they're cute, but back then it represented an unclean animal. And a lamb represented clean, a clean animal. And apparently this was written 3,500 years ago. And you might think, well, what does this have to do with anything relevant today? But we're looking at the principle behind it. Because you know what? It's actually even referring to Jesus himself. So this is really important. So if you had an unclean animal, it had to be redeemed, bought back, with the sacrifice of a clean animal and the firstborn. And remember, Jesus was called the firstborn, and he had to be sacrificed for us. So the clean had to be sacrificed, but the unclean had to be redeemed or bought back with the sacrifice of the clean. Now, it might sound all confusing, but we're getting there, okay? So, question, were you and I, spiritually speaking, born clean or unclean? We were unclean because the Bible reminds us that we were born with a sin nature. You don't have to think about that much when you have children. You don't have to teach them to be bad. That just comes naturally. We have to teach them to be good. So we were born unclean. Was Jesus born unclean or clean? He was clean. But he had to be sacrificed so that the unclean, us, could be redeemed, brought back. That's how important this passage of scripture is. That's how important the first is to God. all through Scripture. And Jesus says, if your sheep has a lamb, you bring the first one to me, and then the rest of your sheep are redeemed. They are blessed, and they are brought out from under the curse that the world has on us. So the first one is the redemptive one, and it redeems the rest. So he says, don't wait till you've got 10 lambs and then pick the worst one, the one that's getting into the garden, and give that to me. He said, no, I want your first and your best. This is a principle of faith, because we give before we have the rest. We haven't got the rest yet, but we're giving first. And this is like tithing. We don't pay all our bills first and then go, I'll just give that bit to God. No, we give the first and the best to God, and then all the rest is blessed. So God, with the Israelites, when they went into the promised land, he said to them, bring all the silver and all the gold from Jericho into the house of the Lord. And the reason it was Jericho, because it was the first city. So he's a first. It's all through the Bible. He says, give me the first and the rest is redeemed. But when they didn't bring all the gold and silver into the house of Jericho, they lost it all. It was gone. They went off to the next city, but it was gone because they didn't do what God asked. Last week we heard in the scriptures that God says, you robbed me. Well, in this situation here, in Joshua, Jesus says to the Israelites, you've stolen from me. Because Israel took what was consecrated or was set apart and they kept it for themselves. So we have choices. We can bring our tithe into the storehouse or we can keep it, which God calls robbing him. This is God's word, not mine. I learned a long time ago that when Graham and I brought the tithe, that we were giving it to God. We weren't giving it to the pastor. We weren't giving it to anyone else. We were giving it to God. And once we did that, we then couldn't go, well, I think we should pay this or do that or build this because my tithe is going into this church. That's not what God says. Bring it in. And then it's our responsibility, it's the board's responsibility to be good stewards of that. And if you may have heard, if there was a church that someone stole money from, it's still not on me. I just have to bring my tithe into the storehouse. That's all I have to do. Then my responsibility is done. And I remember a long, long time ago, a few people had an issue with the pastor and so they withheld their tithe. And I thought, they're robbing God, because it isn't about the pastor. It is about giving to God here. So there's another principle, and it's the principle of the first fruits. And we see that in Proverbs, one of my favourite scriptures, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honour the Lord with your possessions. Well, how do you honour the Lord with your possessions? Well, you be a good steward, don't you? Because you know what? Actually, everything comes from God. We've got what we've got because God has given it to us. So we need to look after what he's given us, because he's looking for those who are faithful in the little, and then he'll give you more because he'll be able to trust you. So with all the first fruits, all of all your increase. Now in this situation, he's talking to farmers, okay? So we could insert the word income, wages, whatever. But he's speaking to farmers, and we know that because he goes on to say, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. But we can put that into our everyday life, that there would be food in our cupboards, that there would be enough, and that there would be an abundance, and we could bless others too. But he does talk about our increase. So to me, that means that if I get money from another source, it might not be my income, I tithe on that too because it's my increase. And I've proven God in that time and time again. That's why our business prospers, because we made a decision to tithe from our business. And our business has been blessed. And it's not because we're lucky. It's not. There was a group of entrepreneurs, and they were in town, and they wanted Graham to go along and give a speech on how to be successful, because these guys wanted to be millionaires by 40, 50 and retire, okay? And I said, so Graham said, well, I'll just tell them to tithe because that was the only answer we could come up with. Because we have not always been wise in business. We've made some dumb mistakes financially. But because we've brought the tithe into the storehouse, God has blessed the rest. We had one situation where we decided together that we would allow another contractor who lives in Queensland, who lived in Queensland, to put his materials on our account. Now, guardrail materials aren't cheap. We said he could, because he was having some hard times. And so we allowed him to, we said, well, you can put up to $50,000 on our account. And he gave us a schedule of when he thought he could pay it off. But times got tougher for him. And then if we didn't let him put on some more, then we weren't going to get the first bit. And so the next thing we knew, he owed us $240,000. And we kept having to pay that bill. And he was, it was dribbling in. And it got down to $140,000. And he went bankrupt. Now, we made that decision. It wasn't a wise decision, but we made it. But because... And then, when he went into bankruptcy, the administrators came in and they sent us a letter. Graham had had a stroke. He's in Canberra Hospital. This is 8 years ago. I get a letter or an email saying that we need to pay back to the administrators $80,000 because he would been acting out of the laws. He'd already sort of gone bankrupt and he was still, and he had paid us some to reduce his debt. So we, by law, were supposed to give that back so that it would go into his funds, and then the first people that get paid when someone goes bankrupt are the staff, or the taxation department, I think, gets theirs first, and the wages are paid and the supers and all that to the people. And he can't be stressed because he just had a stroke. And I'm like, God, what the heck am I going to do? If we have to pay this $80,000 plus the bill to the suppliers that he'd racked up, we're going to go bankrupt here. So what did we do? Firstly, we sought wisdom. We spoke with the suppliers and said, you're going to get it. Can we make a plan with you that we would pay this back? See, it's always good if you owe money and you got trouble, talk to them, ring them. So we did that. And they're like, okay, righto, that's fine. Then I had this weird thought, ring your insurance broker. So I rang my insurance broker and I said, don't know why I'm ringing you, but I want to know, do I have any policies in our insurance that would help us here? Explained it. He said, I don't know. He came back with, you can have a lawyer up to the value of $5,000, which probably isn't a lot. It might have been a bit more then, but I'm like, I'll take it. It might just give us some time to get this money together, because they wanted it within 14 days. So... We get this. I get all the paperwork together, everything, give it to the lawyer in Sydney, never met them face to face. But I thought, okay, this is great, I'm getting this for free. So they sent the administrators a letter and said, we'll do you a deal. Take us off your debtors list. That means, because there's a debtors list, so that if someone goes bankrupt, by the time they sell the assets, each one's divided. You might get 2% of something, or if you're lucky. It didn't matter. So we said, take us off that list, don't worry, but wipe our debt free. Anyway, it came back with, well, just pay us $40,000. And I thought, well, if they can just say that, they can just say no, nothing. So I remember going to Marty and I said, what do I do? And he said, oh, I think that's a pretty good deal. And then he said to me, actually, you need to ask God. So I went to God and God said, no, I've got this covered. you say, no, we're not going to pay it. So I did. We said, no, we want you to take us off and we want you, we're not going to pay you. Or I don't know how they say that. Never heard another thing ever. And the next, we still had to pay that debt though. But the next year, we made the biggest profit that we'd ever made. Because in our stupid decisions, in our unwise thinking, we'd made mistakes. And we've made plenty more. But because God says, you bring the first tithe to me and I'll bless the rest. And we have so many testimonies, it's not funny. And you know what though? In Luke 12:38, it says here, when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted much, even more will be required. And so sometimes I go, God, you want me to do that? Or you want us to do that? And then I think about all the things he's done for us and all the situations he's got out of, and I go, okay, I'll do that. And so God expects a lot from us. I'm talking only about us. He expects something of you, but that's between you and him. You know what? And if you only earn $100 a week and you give $10, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter if you earn $100,000 and you give that tithe. It's no different from the person giving $10. So don't ever think that your bit isn't much or it's not worth it, because to God, it's the best. It's the first, okay? So in Exodus 23:19, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. He wants us to understand the word first and the word bring. He doesn't say give, he says bring. Because we can't give what doesn't belong to us. It all comes from him. Now, there's a story about Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were the first two sons of Adam and Eve. Okay? And this, in this story, they both brought an offering to God. But God accepted Abel's offering and he wouldn't accept Cain's. We're going to look at why. In Genesis 4:3, we read, and in the process of time, you know, in time, casually there, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit, doesn't say first fruit, of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Just in the process of time, just when he kind of thought, yeah, oh, yeah, okay, I'll give that, he brought an offering to the Lord. Genesis 4:4, we go on, it says, but Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. It's pretty clear that he just, yeah, whenever, okay, whatever, I'll just bring something in. But Abel brought the first to God and God accepted that. But he did not accept the leftovers from Cain. So as we look through scripture again, the firstborn and the first fruits were always enacted by God. It's his principle throughout. Okay. Set apart, consecrated first, okay? Cain did as he wanted. And you know why God couldn't accept Cain's offering? Because God won't ever be second. He is first of all. He is higher than all. He is before all and he is above all. So he can never be second. So the principle of the first 10% is right through scripture. It belongs to God, but it has to be the first. Whenever I get something, the first thing I do is send my tithe. The first thing. I don't wait till the end of the week until there's not much left. I do it first. And it's a principle that I have understood and seen God's blessing on. In Leviticus 27:30, it reads, All the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, and it's holy. It's holy to the Lord. We heard last week, and if you weren't here, it would be really good to watch it. He asked the question, do you think that tithing might be more personal to Jesus than you think? Well, it's personal to the Father because it also represents Jesus. In Colossians 1:15 in the New Testament, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. You know what's incredible? Jesus is God's tithe. Jesus is God's tithe. God gave Jesus to us before we straightened up or before we were saved. God gave Jesus while we were still mocking him and spitting on him and scourging him and nailing him to a cross. He gave first, and then God, Jesus, redeemed us, bought us back. And Romans 5 confirms that. He said, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. And so this whole topic of tithing may be just more personal to God than you think. The first of our increase. And if we don't look at it as legalistic, but a principle that runs right through Scripture, and you know, because of what he's done for us, the first thing I love to do is to tithe, to bring it into the storehouse. And if we put God in first in every area of our life, I know that you would be blessed beyond belief. And I'll just finish with this story. When we first joined the church, we've always been generous in our thinking. And someone preached on, they always took the offering up, and I'm like, I wanted to give. And we were like arguing about, well, how much do we give? No, I'm not giving that, And we'd saved up this money, sorry, doll, for a holiday. We hadn't had a holiday for a long time. We'd saved up this money and we're putting it away in the drawer. Like those days you got cash for things. And I'm like, I just think we could give a bit more. And he goes, oh, and he sort of threw it up a bit. Give it all over, he said, So we have this argument. I'm sure you can relate to it. And we get to church and there's a guest speaker. And he says, I'm going to talk on tithing today. And we just look at each other and laugh because God had begun to put it on our heart. But we were scared because we actually didn't have anything. We didn't, at that stage, we actually even struggled to put groceries and food on the table. We'd moved from a farm under Graham's parents and we were working there, and then the farm was sold and we moved into town. Now we had a mortgage, we had to get jobs, we had to work. And things were tight. And so we read the scripture and we agreed together. Okay, God, we'll test you in this. And so we did. We tithed. And then that week, see, God will show you quickly that you're on the right track. That week, we went into the caravan. We had this old caravan where Graham used to use for work. And I went in there to clean it and I opened the cupboards. And there was exactly what I needed. Like there was a toilet rolls, there was a bag of potatoes, there was a tube of toothpaste. The exact things that I had run out of in the house were in that caravan. And I just knew that that was God showing me, trust me. You can test me, but trust me now in this. And so we did. And gradually by our tithe, God had just given us more, we had given more, and it just keeps going round and round. And so if you're scared and you think, oh, I don't know that I can afford that, and I remember a comment Robert Morris made. He said, you'll never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe. Because see, God only expects 10%. And so that's my testimony, that's our testimony, and I know that there are others that would stand here and say the same thing. And so I just really felt that God wanted me to encourage you today. And again, it's not for me. Yeah, I do draw a wage from this church, a small one, and I do tithe, and I am blessed, but God might be challenging some of us. So if you're not sure, just test him. Just test him and see what he'll do for you. Amen.